1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. Let's stand together in honor of reading the Word of God. And we'll read it in both the King James, and I want to read it again in the Amplified Version to kind of hasten our understanding here of the words that are here. It begins in verse 18. It says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie comes out of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same does not have the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Now listen to it again in the Amplified Version. You may want to look up on the screen. "Boys or lads, children, a term of affection. John was the apostle of great affection and compassion and the heart in relationships. And he called his readers there children or boys or lads. It is the last time. Think about what John has done already in this epistle. He has written to encourage them first of all, and then we've looked at the exhortation. He was exhorting them to certain things in their life. Now he is going to send them a warning. So it is the last time. It is the last hour. It is the end of this age. "And as you have heard that the Antichrist, he who opposes Christ in the guise of Christ, Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have arisen, which confirms our belief that it is the final end time. They went out from our number, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they withdrew, that it might be plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by, you hold a sacred appointment from, you have been given an unction from, that is the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. And you all know the truth. Or you know all things. Verse 21, I write to you not because you are ignorant and do not perceive and know the truth, but because you do perceive and know it, and know positively that nothing false, no deception, no lie is of the truth. Who is such a liar as he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah? He is the Antichrist, the antagonist of Christ, who habitually denies and refuses to acknowledge the Father and the Son. No one who habitually denies or disowns the Son even has the Father. And whoever confesses, acknowledges, and has the Son has the Father also. As for you, keep in your hearts what you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the first dwells and remains in you, then you will dwell in the Son and in the Father always. And this is what he himself has promised us, the life, the eternal. And that is the eternal life. I write this to you with reference to those who would deceive you, those who would seduce you, those who would lead you astray. But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, that unction from the Holy One, which you have received from Him, it abides permanently in you. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you. But just as His anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide in, live in, never depart from Him, being rooted in Him, knit to Him, just as His anointing has taught you to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this morning. Father, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and mercy, for the gospel of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for Your gospel that brings us to You, to the knowledge of You, to the truth of You, to the reality of who we are and the truth about our sin and about our lives. Yet, Father, You love us and You desire for us to know You. And so You've called us with a holy calling through Your gospel. Now we ask, Father, this morning that the words that we've read be made clear to us. And Father, that we would be able to see how we ought to judge the spirits of the world and the words of the world and those who pretend or portray themselves to be Your children and Your servants and Your teachers. And Father, we just pray that we may have the ability to discern and to know the truth absolutely of who You are and who Your Son Jesus Christ is, and that we would be able to tell the difference when people come to us making speeches and making doctrines. But Lord, that our hearts would abide with You carefully and joyfully and thoroughly. And we pray, Father, that You'll bless the reading of Your word this morning. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son. Amen. And you may be seated. So John has, in this little epistle, first of all, encouraged his readers and he's exhorted them. Now he is warning these who read these words. And the warning lasts up until us today, as we'll see here in just a few moments. We need to allow the message that we heard from the very beginning, the message that brought you, that brought me into a right relationship with God. That is through the substitutionary death of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ, as our substitute, being there on the cross, understanding that we are sinners who must pay for the penalty of our sins, but we are unable. For when we pay the penalty of our sins, that's death. And death without God and death without Christ, death without the atonement, condemns us to eternal death, eternal separation from God. And so the message that you heard from the very beginning that brought you into a right relationship with God through Christ, it must remain in you, in me. Don't let any deceiver come along and say you need the second blessing, or you need this, or you need to add something to what you already believe. The Judaizers did that in Paul's day. But you and I are to be like them, as we're the readers of this epistle when it was first written at the hand of John, so that we may know and hold to the truth and not be deceived and not fall one way or another on one side or anything else. And so we got to know when the last times are. That's the kind of the title of the message here this morning. Know the last times. Because John warns about in the last times there would be people who would come. They would pretend to be Christians. They would pretend to be prophets. They would pretend to be preachers or teachers of the truth of God's word. But they're really deceivers and they're liars. We'll see a little bit in a moment how to know that and how to discern that. And so he says there's an Antichrist. Everybody believes the Antichrist, and he used that word there in these verses. But then he comes and uses the word many Antichrists are already in the world, and they're already at work. What is the Antichrist going to do? He's going to come, and he's going to deceive the world. Well, the Antichrists, who are like the Antichrist after him, are deceivers, and they're liars. And the truth is, as we'll see here in a moment, John identified them. They were the ones who were already in the church. They were professing to be the people of God, the followers of Christ. And he warns these readers not to be led astray, not to be led into a deception. And so we have this great epistle now that comes to bring a warning to those who would come and hear and adhere to the truth and to follow it absolutely. And he gives the means by which they may know that that happens. And so there are many antichrists among the Christian community today. And we're to withdraw from them. We are not to follow and to pursue after them. So look with me, if you will, at the warning about antichrist. In verse 18, John said, "Little children, or boys or lads, my little children, my dear ones." He has an affectionate heart for his readers, for the children of God, for the believers in Christ. And says, "My little children, it is the last time." And he's talking about the last days when God is doing his work to bring all of human history to a close and to one point where he sends his son back in great glory and power, and he culminates all of human history to the glory of God. And so he said, it is the last time. And we, almost 2,000 years later, are still living in this last time. He's not talking about the time at the very end, but he's talking about the time that brings up to the very end there. And it's like been like that since the days that our Lord ascended back into heaven. And there are people who rise up within the church or within communities, within the world, to do all kinds of deceptions that are there. So he said, even now there are many antichrists. And that's what you and I need to recognize in our Christian, quote unquote, world today. There are many, many antichrists. There are many who are deceiving the masses. And so he says, hereby, this is how we can know that it is at the last time. If there's any doubt in anybody's mind that God is, this is the final stage or the final phase of human history, coming up to human history, the final phase of human history with God before he rules and reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, is that this is the time, the way of history. The deceptions that come and the things that the church goes through and God's people go through. And so John warns them concerning these, and he wants to protect them from deception. So look with me at verse 19. He says, "They went out from us." Notice the word "they." What does that refer to? It refers to, back in the other verse, it refers to the Antichrist. Now here's what John declares and says about who are these Antichrists. There are people within the church, or had been within the church in his time, and still in our time here today. They, that is these Antichrists, went out from us, from out among our midst, out from the gathered church. They didn't have memberships like we do now, but they had relationships there. People fellowship with one another, and we thought we were all Christians. And he says, everybody was not. And these Antichrists were there, and they went out from us, but he says, but they were not of us. Because if they had been of us or been like us, that is truly born again. Remember a few weeks ago we looked at the parable of the wheat and the tare. The tares and that darnel plant that looked like the wheat plant. Had a stalk like the wheat plant, had a head like the wheat plant. But in the head it was empty. There was no fruit inside the head of that wheat. And so there Jesus was telling us there are, in the kingdom of heaven and the years until he comes back again, there's going to be both within the church. Well, now John tells us that if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Those who have the real thing, those who have really and truly been converted, have the real thing, have Christ in them, and the Spirit of God lives and indwells. He's not held captive to our human nature. God is almighty and all powerful. And if you have truly been born again of the Spirit of God, then you have Christ in you. God dwells in you. And you're going to continue with God. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you will never fail. But it means that God will endure in your heart and in your soul and in your life. So he says, but they went out that they might be made manifest, or might be revealed that they were really not all of us. Now go back up to that, what's in my Bible, the second line, where it says, if they had been of us. Remember those third class conditional sentences I've been telling you about? Well, this is not one of those. This is one of the other ones. It's the second class sentence, and it means that the outcome is not fulfilled. And so that's what he's stating here in this conditional sentence. He said, if they had been of us, then they would have remained with us. But the reality was they were never really born again. So you see, the if clause says that they states that these people were really not born again of the Spirit of God. They were pretenders. For whatever reason, they were pretenders. And so they would have stayed here with us. But now look at verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now what is John talking about? Many people have an idea that that this is something special that God does for you if you come into a certain way of thinking and all that. And it's not. He's simply stating what Jesus promised. He said, when you're of mine, my Spirit will live in you. My Spirit will dwell in you. And the Spirit of God, you have that promise of the Spirit in your heart and in your life. And He dwells within you. And He is the Holy One, and the Holy One lives in you. He dwells in you. And He said, you know all things. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? I will send the Comforter to you, and He will teach you all things. And so it is that Spirit of God, if you know Him and are born of God, it's that same Spirit of God who is in you, and He is, will and is teaching you all things, teaching us all things. And so you know all things because the Holy Spirit is doing His work there. Look with me at verse 21. He says, I have not written unto you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it. John says, I am confident of your salvation. I am confident of your conversion. And the fact and the truth that you remain in fellowship with God the Father and with the Son Jesus Christ and with one another. Remember John chapter 1 and part of John chapter, earlier part of John chapter 2. If we have fellowship with the Father, then we have the light. And if we're in light, then we have know that we have fellowship with Him. But if we don't love God, if we don't obey God, then darkness is in us and we've deceived ourselves. And so here he says, you are those who do know the truth. But because you know it and that there is no, you know this also, that no lie can come out of the truth. Now let's stop here for just a moment. John has used the word antichrist once. He has used the word antichrist more than once here in this passage, and he does it three times in this little epistle. The Apostle John is the only writer of the Bible who has used the term antichrist or antichrists. He is the only one who has used that term. The truth is there, and the person of the antichrist is revealed by Paul and Thessalonians and all that, who he is and everything, but John brings it and makes it a personal reality. For you and me, for every reader, we need to be aware of the deception that is out there that is ready to take you and me and to take us off and to take us away. And I've seen that over a period of many years, and I'm certainly certain that you have as well. So verse 22, don't be deceived. Do not let a lie come into your heart and take you captive, and take you away from God, take you away from Christ, and take you away from the truth. Look at verse 22. Then, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Do you understand what John is saying here? That's one of the most profound sentences in all the New Testament. Who is a liar? Who is the one who is not of God? Who is the deceiver? Who is the one that will bring to your mind or to your life the thoughts, just like the serpent brought thoughts of doubt to Eve there in the Garden of Eden? Who is it that would come to you and to lead you astray? He is the Antichrist. Verse 22, he is the Antichrist. And he is the, how do you know it? Because he denies the Father and the Son. Here is the ultimate truth of Christianity. Here's the ultimate truth of you knowing who you are in Christ. There is God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The gospel tells us that God himself in eternity past, known to us in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, as the eternal Word, the eternal existence of God, who was with God the Father, who created everything. And this Creator God, because He loves us, He was compelled, His love compelled Him to become one of us and to walk on this earth that He created and that He made, and compelled Him to give Himself over into the hands of evil sinners. Sin had to put Jesus there on the cross, but it was the wrath of God that atoned for your sins and my sins. Sin put Christ on the cross, but it was what God did in the hours of darkness that took away, that satisfied the justice of God and the holiness of God, whereby it tore down the barrier between God and us, those of us who are sinners. And so the denier, the devil, the Satan, the Antichrist, and the Antichrist plural are those who come and who take away from the truth, or who come and add to the truth in a way to change it around, to change the meaning. And in our world today, there are thousands of prominent public antichrists out there. I would identify them mostly, not only, but mostly through the Word of Faith movement that we see and we hear so prevalently. I don't know of one Word of Faith leader that does not believe that the moment you become born again, that you become a little God. I don't know one. Almost all of them. And if there's an exception in there, I don't know who they are, both men and women. They are those who have taken the truth of God, because the moment you believe you are a little God, you no longer need God the Father and God the Son. And so that's what verse 22 says. The one, he is Antichrist, and he's the one who denies the Father and the Son. And so these who are in this movement, and these who are very prominent world leaders in the area of religion, take people away from the truth. Yeah, you hear such things and such teachings as have faith in your faith. One who's gone on to be in eternity now between him and God for sure, always made this statement that God himself, then Jesus Christ, had to have faith. And he had to have the kind of faith that they were preaching and teaching and promoting and all that type of thing that was there. They were deceivers who come very cunningly and craftily to bring and present to your mind and to my mind another gospel. One that is not according to the truth. And John seeks to warn his readers. And today the warning is for us. Look with me at verse 23. Whosoever denies the Son, the same does not have the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. If you have that in italics in your Bible, that's added for clarity there. Those words are not appear in the original language. So the one who denies the Son, the same does not have the Father. The most volatile statement that you can make in the world today. Now, I'm not talking about within churches, especially within our church here and other sister churches and things like this. But to say that Jesus Christ is the Creator and that He is the Son of God and He is God is one of the most volatile things that you can bring up to people, whether they're religious or non-religious. That just stirs people up. And John says, here's how you can know who they really are. This is the test of truth. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God in the flesh, who walked on this earth and went to the cross, and he suffered and died as a substitute for your sins, because you and I could not die for our sins and live forevermore. We could just die for our sins and be separated forever from God. But God the Father, had God the Son, came and he went to the cross and he endured for us so that you and I might come and approach to a holy God, the barrier being taken down, being broken down, that we might come and seek His mercy. And through repentance and faith, we come and we receive the truth. That's what John is talking about in verse 18. The same truth that, or 18 or 19, that same truth that you heard from the beginning is the same truth that you should remain in. And don't let a deceiver come in. Well, let's look very quickly. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Again, those conditional clauses there. If it's there, it's there. If it's not true, then it's not true. You also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. There's the evidence that you truly know Christ. That you continue in the Son and continue in the Father. In fellowship. And it's seeking and desire. People say, well, I haven't done all I should do as a Christian. How do I know that I'm really saved because I've gone through this period? If that bothers you, in all likelihood, you have the truth. Because when you do not follow the Father, you do not follow the Son, the Spirit of God convicts you of that sin. And so verse 25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. Eternal life is a promise from God. It's a promise from Him. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Okay? He's saying they've come to you with another doctrine, with another teaching, with another gospel in order to seduce you. I'm telling you, there are hundreds of thousands in churches today who are following these seducers. Who are following these antichrists because of their beliefs, because of their theology, because of their teachings, because of their doctrine. They do not hold to the truth and the doctrine that Jesus Christ is indeed God. Verse 27. And the reason is because when you come to believe that you are a little God on your own, then you have equated yourself with God the Father and God the Son. Beware of the seduction that's out there. And that's what he's telling us. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him, that is the Spirit of God that comes into your heart and your life the moment you were converted. That's what he's speaking of. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you don't need that any man should teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, this doesn't mean we don't need people to teach us. And everything that comes into our mind is not necessarily from God. We have to search the Scriptures. The thoughts of your mind, the thoughts of my mind, must come out of the truth of the Word of God. That's why the Bible is attacked so much. In theological circles for over 150 years, theologians have questioned the authenticity of all of the Word of God, the veracity, the truthfulness of all of Scripture as a whole. Theologians, we have professors in our seminaries, even in our